Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to hear from your word here today. I thank you, Father, just to be in your presence. Lord, I thank you, and I ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would speak through me even now. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would help us all to hear a word from you. God, let your message be proclaimed here today. And Lord, help us all to say yes to you, to walk in obedience to you, to have the courage to follow you wherever it is you're telling us to go. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I remember as a child, my family would, every once in a while, would listen to country music. And one of the favorites in our family was Kenny Rogers. And, you know, probably his best song ever was The Gambler, right? Man, that was great. But he had this other song that was really cool that was called Lucille. And it was a really popular song, but it always kind of confused me as a child. Because the lyrics that I heard were, for the chorus, it said, what I thought it said was, you picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille, with 400 children and a crop in the field. Now, if you've ever heard this song before, you know that those are not actually the lyrics of the song. See, what Kenny Rogers actually sings to Lucille is that that he's been left with four hungry children and a crop in the field. But I didn't realize until just a few years ago that I had those lyrics completely wrong. I thought for sure that when Kenny was singing about these hard times and he'd been through some bad times, but this time the hurt won't heal. Like, I thought for sure it's because he had these 400 kids out here that Lucille was trying to, maybe she was trying to get a big group home together. She done went and adopted all these kids, and then she done left Kenny Rogers with 400 children and a crop to take care of as well. I thought for sure that's why he was so sad and that's why he was so broken. It wasn't until just a few years ago that I realized that while the situation was still difficult, it wasn't as difficult as having 400 children, but rather that he had four hungry children and a crop to take care of. See, even like with myself, I think we've all probably had times where we grew up maybe hearing something or believing something. Maybe there's even a lyric to a song that you've heard that you could have sworn that the lyric was this, but as it turns out, those lyrics aren't quite the same after all. Well, it actually happens this way with religion as well. Many times as we grow up, we hear different things and we are taught different things. And sometimes we're taught them directly, like we're told this is what it says. And other times we're actually, we just sort of assume things. We infer into conversations that we've heard. We take from movies and songs and just hearsay, right? Maybe we saw something on TV and then we kind of figured, oh, well, this must be what this means. And so we take some of this information that we thought we heard and we base our lives around this information. When the truth of the matter is that those lyrics might not actually be the same. Like, we might not actually, maybe we didn't hear what we thought we heard. Maybe the truth of God's word is not actually what we thought it was. But in reality, what we've done is we have become religious people who have this religious structure. And we form our religious mindset based off of lyrics that are not exactly right. Well, we're going to read a story today, or we're going to continue on in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 today and find where Paul was actually, he was confronting some people who were in a very similar situation. They had grown up and grown into this religious structure that didn't really fit with what Jesus was saying to them. It didn't really fit with how Jesus lived, and even more, how he rose from the dead. And so then what we have to decide and what we have to learn, even from what Paul is showing us here, is are we going to just hunker down in our religion, or are we going to say not anymore? Are we going to recognize that, you know what, maybe the lyrics that we thought we heard were not the lyrics that we really ought to be living by. Maybe the word of God that we thought we heard was not really the word of God that the Lord would have us to live by. So maybe while we have been religious so far, maybe we need to step back and say, you know what? Not anymore. I'm actually going to follow Jesus, even if it means leaving some of my religious practices behind. So let's jump into the text here. Again, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 12, and it says, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? So here we have, there's a religious group that Paul is specifically speaking to here, and they refer to as the Sadducees. Many times when Jesus had theological arguments with people, it was usually either the Pharisees or the Sadducees. These were the religious leaders of the Jewish faith in this day. Now, the distinction between the Pharisees and the Sadducees was that they all believed in the law, or what we would consider to be the Old Testament, right? But the Sadducees did not believe in resurrection, they did not believe in angels, and they did not believe in spirits, right? And so for these Jesus followers, for one, to even claim that Jesus was the Messiah himself, like, that was problematic all by itself. But to say that he was risen from the dead, like, for a Sadducee, that would be a very hard theological problem, because in their religion, in the religious practices and ideas that they have formed over time, like, resurrection just doesn't fit in that. And so if people are claiming that Jesus has been resurrected from the dead, then that cannot fit within their religion, right? Now, here's the big problem. This is a little while, not too long, but a little while after Jesus had died and rose from the dead. And now you've got some Jewish people, even including some Pharisees and some Sadducees, that are coming to be Jesus followers. And they're confronted with this theological problem of, I actually do believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. I do believe he is the Messiah, but it's hard for me to believe that he is, that he's risen from the dead, because that doesn't fit within my religion. So now they have to weigh out, what do I do when following Jesus doesn't fit with the religion that I've grown into? I have experienced this and had to walk through this myself even. I remember even as a child, I've been connected to church my whole life. But I learned at a very young age what it took to look religious, right? I was taught at a very young age what it was you were supposed to wear when you went to a worship service. I was taught at a very young age how it was you were supposed to speak when you were in a place of worship. I was taught at a very young age, like, how you were supposed to act. In fact, and even how I was supposed to serve in the church and just look like. Like, for example, I even served as an acolyte. Now, maybe many of you don't even know what that is, but for some churches that have candles, like, up on the platform, they'll have kids that'll come, and they'll have these long candle holders with a wick on them. And then we would walk down in front of the minister, and we would we'd go up and we'd light the candles at the beginning of the service, and then we'd go and we'd sit down and we'd pretend like we were paying attention through the whole service. And then when the service is over, we'd go back up and we'd snuff out all of the candles, and then we'd light our wick and leave out behind the pastor to show that all the light of Christ is going out with us. It was really a powerfully symbolic thing, but I didn't get any of that. All I knew was I had to walk at a certain pace, and I had to light the candles at a certain pace, and I had to sit down and be quiet, and I had to snuff them out at a right pace, and I had to walk out at the right pace. Like all I learned was the religion. I didn't learn really everything that went with it. I didn't learn the symbolism of it. And so what I learned indirectly was that if I could just look religious when I'm supposed to look religious, then I don't really need to worry too much about the rest of my life. I can kind of do whatever I want for the rest of it. I just need to make sure that I look religious at the right times. I don't know, maybe you find yourself in a similar position where maybe it wasn't even that maybe you didn't even grow up in the church, right? But maybe you just kind of formed in your own mind what it means to be religious, what it means to follow God, however it is that's defined in your life. Whether you were part of a church or not, or whatever kind of church you were brought up in, we all, I think, kind of have ways that we find ways to be religious. But I know for myself, as I got into my high school years, particularly my later high school years, I got confronted with Jesus. And I get confronted with what the Gospels, what the New Testament actually says about Jesus and what Jesus said about me. And all of a sudden, I realized that this religious structure that I had set up for myself was actually not in my best interest. That this religious structure that I had actually didn't have as much to do with Jesus as I had once thought. And so then I had to decide, was I going to settle for being religious, or was I actually going to follow Jesus? That's where we are today as well. That's where Paul was with the Corinthian church. He was telling them, I know that you've been religious for a long time, but not anymore. I know that you follow all the rules of the Old Testament for a long time, but not anymore. Like if you're going to be a Jesus follower, then you need to follow Jesus. And these people were really, really struggling with this. So if we recognize that, okay, I get it. Like, Jesus is got to be my number one. I can't just settle for religion. I really have to go after Jesus. But how do I do that? How do I move from being religious to not anymore? How do I move from maybe not really knowing what the Word of God says to not anymore, to actually getting in the Word and learning it for myself and being solid in what Jesus would have me to do? Like, how do I make those steps? Well, let's look back at verse 9 here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and see what Paul had to say about that. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9. It says, this is Paul talking about himself now, and he says, "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Now, I think this terminology here is what is very, very interesting. So first of all, I think we need to recognize that when it says here that Paul persecuted the church, it's important for us to recognize that he was actually doing this as an expression of faith in God. See, he believed in the law. He believed in what we know of as the Old Testament, but what he knew is just the Scriptures. He believed in the Scriptures so much that he was willing to put other people in prison, and he was willing to hold the coats of those that would kill people that were not following this law. Like he believed this so much, and he wanted to follow God so much that he actually persecuted people and put people in prison and allowed people to be killed simply because they weren't following the law. See, if we aren't careful, our religion can actually hurt people as well. If we aren't careful, then our religion can actually be persecuting people as well. And here's what I mean by that. Like, if all we have is religion and we're not actually based in the truth of God's word, then we might be telling other people this religious structure that we have that is not actually true. And what we're doing then is we're leading people the wrong way. We're actually leading people away from the kingdom and not toward it. But watch this, because it goes even a little bit farther, because in that interaction, when Paul finally gets confronted by Jesus because of this persecution here on the road to Emmaus, Jesus actually comes and Paul gets knocked down and is blinded. And while he's there, Jesus actually speaks to Paul, and he doesn't say, "Paul, why are you persecuting these people? Why are you hurting these people? Why are you seeing that others are stoned?" No, what he says is, "Why are you persecuting me?" See, if we aren't careful, and if we stay in our religion and we don't actually seek after Jesus, we might find ourselves not only coming against the kingdom of God, but coming against Jesus himself. Like, we've got to make sure that the reason why we can't settle for religion anymore is because if all we have is religion, we may actually be coming against Jesus, and that's not where I want to be. And I don't think that's where you want to be either. Like, if we actually want to be followers of Jesus, we cannot settle for religion. No, not anymore. We've got to be people who are in the Word, really seeking after Jesus to know what it is that he is saying to us and how it is that he's guiding us. Let me continue on here in verse 10. As Paul continues in this letter to the Corinthian church, he goes on to say, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect." See, grace is the power of Jesus Christ within us. It is what allows us to be forgiven of our sins and those kinds of things. But grace is not just mercy. Mercy is that we don't get what we deserve, or we do get what we don't deserve. No. But grace is the power of Christ within us. See, religion can give you some structure to see things in a certain way, but only grace gives you the power to see things differently. Let me say that again now. So religion gives you a structure by which to take what you already have and to put it all together in a way that makes sense in your brain. So religion takes what you see and it puts it in a structure so that you can make sense of what you see. But grace comes in, and grace actually changes you. It is not without effect. In other words, it will change your life. It is the power of Christ inside of you that actually helped you to see all of this differently. It helped you to see all of this as a place where Jesus wants to go and to love others. It helped you to see all of this as a place where God can actually work his dynamic power into all of the world. See, in one, we take our environment and we shape the Bible around our environment. But through grace, we take the Bible, we take the Word of God, and we allow that to shape everything else around us. See, it's the power of Jesus that forgives us when we ask. It is the power of Jesus. It is this grace that gives us purpose and value. It is the power of Jesus that changes us and that will have its effect on our lives. Y'all need to know that in religion, I was a nobody. But in grace, like, now I'm somebody, and I'm not just somebody because I'm standing here and talking to a camera. Like, I'm somebody because Jesus died on the cross and he shed his blood and he rose from the dead. Like if somebody's going to do that for me, that must mean that I'm worth something, and it means you're worth something as well. See, in religion, I was stuck in a cycle of sin and depression, but not anymore. No. Now, by grace, I'm set free from sin. And I'm set free from death. And I don't have to settle for that in my life anymore. No. In religion, all I could do was try to follow the rules. But I knew I was never going to be able to follow those rules. So I just stopped trying. But no, not anymore. No, now, by grace, the power of Jesus can come inside of me and keep me from that sin. And empower me to live a life that isn't stuck in depression. And isn't stuck in grace does. Religion can only make me feel bad for what I'm not doing, but not anymore. No. Now grace gives me the power of Jesus Christ to overcome everything that would hold me back. And let me continue on here, even in verse 10. It goes on, Paul goes on to say, no, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was within me. So again, let me make very clear, it is the grace of God that makes the change in our lives. However, Paul talks about here that there was some work that he did that actually created the environment in which that grace could just grow all the more inside of you. And I think it's important that we kind of take note of some things that are that help to create that environment in which grace can grow and flourish in our lives. Like, for example, we ought to work hard in the Word of God. And part of that means that we have got to be reading the Word of God for ourselves each and every day. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to read a whole book of the Bible every day. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to do an in-depth Bible study with commentaries and all that kind of stuff every day. But it does mean that you should be reading something. Just something. Even if it's just a paragraph, maybe just a story. I find that for me, it's best for me to read the Bible in stories, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament. And then I can really begin to think about and understand, like, how is this story speaking into my life right now? Like, how is God using this to change me? And I want to let you know as well, it's really important for us to study God's Word and to work hard in God's Word in community. See, if I had mentioned all those years ago that I thought that the lyrics to the song Lucille were that this guy had 400 children and a crop in the field, then somebody would have said to me, hey, you're crazy. It's not 400 children, it's 4 hungry children. See, when we isolate ourselves, and this happens so much in religion, I see this so many times, is when people are stuck in religion, they don't want to talk to anybody else about religion. They just want to be happy in the structure that they have set for themselves, because they want to see the world in a certain way, and they don't want anything to disrupt that. And so they just have this one way of seeing things. But when we get in community, then other people are able to speak truth into our lives as well, and we're able to learn from that. And it's not a place of condemnation. It's not a place of looking down on people. It's not a place of, oh, well, I'm up here and you're down there. No, it's a place where we can all learn together. But if we're not in this community working hard in the Word of God together, then how are we supposed to learn the truth? How are we supposed to move from religion to not anymore if we don't have other people speaking into our lives? Community is so important there. We also need to be working hard in prayer. This is another thing that really needs to be happening daily. And church, I think this is so important. I know sometimes people will say, oh, well, you know, prayer is just kind of hard for me. Like, you know, I don't really remember to do it, or it just seems weird, you know. But does it seem weird to just say thank you to somebody if they do something nice for you? Like, I mean, that's really where prayer starts, is just saying thank you to God for everything that he's done in your life. And then after you tell him thank you, like, there might be some other things going on, or there might be some issues going on with some other people even, where you could just talk to God and say, Lord, I don't know what you might do here, but I just ask that you'd have your way in this person's life or in this situation or something like that. Prayer really is, you don't have to have a certain language to pray. You just talk to God. And what you'll find is the more you get used to talking to God, the more you'll get used to listening to God as well. And he has some things to say to you. So we got to work hard in the Word. We got to work hard in prayer. But we also need to work hard in disciple making as well. And I think sometimes the enemy will try to convince us, oh, well, I don't know enough to be able to disciple somebody else. I don't know enough to be able to help anybody else in their faith. Let me just say that no matter where you are in your relationship with Jesus Christ, if you are striving after Jesus, you have something you can share with somebody else who's also striving after Jesus. Like, you have something you can share with me. And God can speak through your life into my life. right? And if we're not being intentional about being disciples who are making disciples, then we're losing out on the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us, right? No matter how long you've been walking with Jesus, you have something to offer. But we've just got to be intentional about looking for those opportunities to offer that to other people. So let me give you a few examples of some things that you can do, even right now, that will set you up to be able to be a disciple who's making disciples. First of all, and you can do this today, even as soon as we're done here, you can be one who is inviting other people to be a part of our worship services, right? You can send out invitations, whether that be through the graphics that we put out on Facebook or the videos that we put on Facebook and YouTube. You can, whether you have been a part of Houston First for years or whether this is your first time worshiping with us even right now, like, I want to invite you in. Like you need to know you are welcome here. You are already part of the Houston First family, and we are so glad you're a part of this. And know that you have the opportunity to invite others into this move of God that is happening here among Houston First Church of God. Like, we invite you, we encourage you to invite others to hear how God can impact their lives in powerful ways, how the grace of Jesus can empower all of us to live different. He can do that through you as you are inviting others to be a part of a worship service, be a part of the different Bible studies we do, whatever. Again, go to hfcog.org/churchonline. There's all kinds of ways for you to connect there, even for kids and youth and small groups and Bible studies and so many things. You can invite people to be a part of that, even if you're not saved. Maybe you haven't even decided to walk with Jesus yet, but you know that there's something happening here. You can still be a part of making disciples even before you're a disciple yourself. Now, a couple other ideas here. First of all, coming up at the end of the month, April 29th and 30th, there's going to be an online national disciple making forum. We're going to have a link here. It's you just go to discipleship.org and you can sign up. It's totally free. It's going to be 2 days. On the 29th, there's going to be all these national speakers from all over the place. They're going to be able to teach you how to be a disciple maker right where you are, really practical stuff. And then on the 30th, it's going to be more of like a breakout sessions, right? There's so many different options that you have to choose from here. But again, you got to go to discipleship.org. You get signed up there. You register for that. But let me know that you're doing it. So you can go to the event page that we created for the online National Discipleship Forum. It's at the Houston First Facebook page. And you can just click on there, hey, I'm going, right? That tells me that you've already registered to be a part of this. Or you can go to the Houston First website, the hfcog.org/churchonline. At the very bottom of the page, there's a place where you can fill out an interest form that says, yes, I'm going to be a part of this. And then what we're going to do is, as a church, not only are we going to watch this and gain this training, but then we're going to gather together online, right? And we're going to talk and process through, like, what are some things that you learned? And how can we help each other to be disciples who make disciples? This is going to be a really powerful event, and I'd love for you to be a part of that as well. See, more than anything, we just need to recognize that this impact of the grace of Jesus Christ that moves us from religion to not anymore is when this grace impacts our lives, it is not just for a moment. No, it is a life change. It means that what I was doing before, I'm not doing anymore. The way I was thinking before, I'm not thinking anymore. The way I was feeling before, I'm not feeling anymore. Like when we submit ourselves to the grace of Jesus Christ, like, He changes everything. And it is so good. You will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and His fruit will be produced inside of you. Fruit like love and joy and peace and kindness. All these things, right? It's not just a moment of emotion. It is a lifestyle change that comes through the power of Jesus Christ inside of us. It's us saying, Lord, I'm tired of being religious because it's not working. It's us admitting to God, you know what? I've tried to do this religion thing on my own, and it's not working, and I don't want to do it anymore. Lord, I've been religious. Not anymore. Now I want to be a Jesus follower. I believe that Jesus is the Savior. I believe that he is sent from God, that he is God's son, that he died on a cross and he rose from the dead, that I could be forgiven and I could be set free, that I could move from death to life and from lost to found. It's just simply confessing to God, forgive me of my sins, for I know I am a sinner. And I need Jesus. I believe Jesus as my Savior to forgive me of my sins. It's us simply confessing, God, show me how to be a disciple that makes disciples. Church, I want you to know, we don't have to settle for religion. We don't have to settle for just what we've come up with in our own minds. No, we can actually live out the Word of God. And we want to do this with you as well. We don't want you to feel like you're doing this on your own. Like maybe you're watching this by yourself right now, or maybe even as you're thinking about this, you in your mind you're thinking, well, this is great and everything, but I can't tell anybody else about this. I want you to know, we want to come alongside you in this. And so I want to encourage you, send me an email. You can email me at pastortim@hfcog.org. I would love to talk with you about how you can be a disciple that makes disciples, how you can truly submit yourself to the grace of Jesus Christ, how you can move from religion to not anymore, how you can become an actual Jesus follower and not just someone who's following Christianity, because there is a big difference. You're not alone. Church, I need you to know, you are not alone in your walk. There is a whole community of believers who wants to come around you and encourage you and bless you and pray for you and lead you into things that you would have never seen for yourself. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, but it's not in religion. It's in a relationship with Jesus. And so I want to invite you to pray with me even now. Lord God, I thank you that you sent Jesus Christ to live a perfect life and to die a perfect death and to be risen from the dead so that we don't have to be stuck in our religion anymore, so that we don't have to be stuck in our sins anymore, so that we don't have to be stuck in our hurt anymore. God, I thank you that as Jesus rose from the dead, as he was resurrected from the dead, we get to be made new and be reborn again as well. Lord, we believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. We believe he is the Messiah that the Old Testament prophesied about. We believe that you are able to forgive us because of what Jesus has done for us. And God, we give our lives to you even now. Use us for your glory. Show us what you want us to do. Show us how you want us to live. Teach us your word. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, I just want you to know, I love you so much. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, please email me or comment on the video here. We want to just celebrate with you. God is doing great things in you and great things for his kingdom. We want to celebrate with you all that God, all the grace is doing in your life, because he's going to, it will have its effect on you and it will bless you. We've got to come together as the church, and we're going to celebrate together to honor and glorify God in our lives. May you be blessed even in our worship here now. Amen.